Someone reminded me this morning that that never gets old. As we think about what it means to live life on a roller coaster, we're in a series today. This last several weeks called Life is a Roller Coaster. And we think about the ups and downs of life. And I think about how God sometimes meets us in those moments. And today we're talking about the drop. And as I think about the drop, I just wanted to give you an announcement that just happened last night. But before I preach, I just wanted to remind our congregation that Dr. Carver McGriff passed away last night. He faithfully served this congregation from 1967 to 1993. And we are who we are today because of his legacy. We pride ourselves being an open, inclusive congregation, but this didn't start today. This started with, I told you, he pastored between 1967 and 1993. It began under his vision and leadership and bravery to lead us into being who we are today. And so we just pray that you'll keep Marianne and her prayers, and Pastor Rod will send out a video with some updated announcements in the days to come. But I just pray that you would hold that as we're thinking about life being a roller coaster and even how we deal with the drops in our own lives. Won't you pray with me? Dear God, we simply pray that you would be in our midst. As we think about life and its ups and downs, There are so many experiences represented here today, and so many things that we're going through. Every person represents a family, a city, a community, and the different things that we face. And so we just bring all of that with you. We bring all of that with us. So as the word goes out, we pray that it shall not come back void. For this is our hope and prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The drop. Well, I need to be clear and clear something up, and some of you have been making fun of me over these last few weeks. I admitted to you some weeks ago my disdain for roller coasters, which you all have brought up several times. The truth is that I don't despise everything about roller coasters. I don't. In fact, it's just one part. It's just one part that gets me every time. I don't mind the speed of roller coasters. I don't mind the twists and the turns. I don't even mind going backwards. I don't even mind going upside down. But my source of anxiety as a grown man, it stems from the drops. I got the turns. I got the twists. I got the upside downs. But it's the feeling that happens in your stomach when your body is free falling and you don't have any control. It literally gets me every single time. I got everything else, but the thing that I cannot handle is the drops. And the truth is, I don't think I'm alone. Because faith is a journey that requires each of us to handle some difficult drops in our lives. But if we stay true to the ride of life, if we stay true to it, most drops are predicated by the infamous climb. You know the climb, the click, 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 right? I mean, this is exactly where we find the people in our text, because as the dream conveyed, Egypt is enjoying 7 years of abundance as predicted by Joseph. I mean, the grain is flowing, the crops are surging, their economy was booming. Things could not be better for them. I mean, these are the high points and the peak moments that people pray about and dream about in their lives. But I think we would be remiss if we move to quickly past these 7 years of abundance, because these are the high moments that are also a part of the journey. And it's essential because our faith can be tested and challenged not only during times of adversity, but also in periods of prosperity. The climb, the click, 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 can be just as tempting. In fact, these years of prosperity teach us how to cope with success. How to cope with success. Now, I know it's an odd phrase because usually when we refer to coping with something, it's often associated with negative feelings or negative emotions. But it's just as important to lean on our faith during times of abundance as it is during seasons of famine. Because let's be honest, we often associate the loss or the challenge of faith as the result of hardship or difficulties in our lives, when things happen that we can neither explain or control. But if we think about it, we encourage people to hold on to their faith when life is hard. We invite people to look for the hand of God when life is difficult, or to search for God during seasons of grief. And the upside to that is that we consistently equip people with the skills to handle hardships. But what about during times of plenty? What about during abundance? What about when things are going well? Can our search for God be just as intense and just as meaningful when life is not falling apart? I mean, can our need to hear a word from God be just as urgent when our basic needs are being met? I think we are so driven by adversity that we don't properly teach people how to cope during the 7 years of abundance. In fact, I learned this lesson as a pastor serving in various communities. I pastored one community that was a very working class community. I mean, the jobs that were offered in this city, that offered benefits and retirement packages, they were extremely hard to find and hard to come by. Most of the economy was driven by casinos. And so there were apparent economic and social challenges. And yet there was rarely a need to convince the people in this community of the value on relying and depending on God. It was just the fabric of the community. But then I pastored in a very high-performing community, a very high-performing church where economic needs were not apparent. So one day I was having lunch with one guy from the congregation that had a very high-profile job that literally took him around the world. And I wanted to meet with him as a young pastor to share with him my vision of the congregation and discuss ways I thought that he could help move the congregation forward. And I had my pitch. I had everything ready. I was excited about what the Lord was going to do. And I saw him being a part of what the Lord was doing in the life of the congregation. And so, again, I was excited. And I was giving him this grandiose vision about God was calling us to create this innovative place where people in our community were changed and transformed, and they would come and their lives would get better and they would be equipped to go out into the world. And then he stopped me in my tracks and said, So does that mean, or are you assuming that my life needs to be changed? I hadn't planned on that response. Had to think quick on my feet. Said, well, how about you tell me what faith means to you? And he told me, he spent the next few minutes telling me what faith meant to him. And in so many words, he was not looking for God to help him fulfill an urgent need or dramatically change an area of his life. And I didn't have time to take him through John Wesley's idea of sanctification and transformation and forever being perfected by God. We had time to do all that. But for his approach to faith wasn't just by getting his basic needs met. And I think he was on to something. And this is not making blanket statements about how of where we are financially or of how we receive God. This is just an example of two congregations of how they approach faith. But this guy reminded me of sometimes adversity is not our only entry point as we understand the move of God. Because the truth is, whether you have a little or a lot, sometimes things will be going well. And the other side of that is that whether you got a little or not, sometimes you will experience a drop in life. That there's no amount of success or money that can shield us from the difficulties and the hardships of life. Because we all go through times of plenty. when what is urgent is not always apparent. There are times when life is not always falling apart. There are seasons when we are in a good place, and the search for God has to be just as intense, because the real test of our faith is not just when the bottom drops out, but when life is climbing. It's when things are starting to come together. It's when our faith is equally challenged by both adversity and abundance. It's tested by both need and prosperity. It is creating and recognizing that even in 7 years of plentiful, that we desperately need God. In fact, the late lyricist Christopher Wallace, aka Biggie Smalls, said, "More money, more problems." That it doesn't matter where we are. Because if you really want to know somebody's character, if you really want to know somebody's character and who they are, don't just give them a hardship. Give them a title. Give them a position. Give them some authority. Give them some responsibility. Give them a spotlight. Give them a crown. Give them a microphone, because we simply become who we really are. And sometimes success magnifies those things in our lives so much more than hardship. Sometimes our insecurities, our struggles, the things that we deal with in life, they're not just revealed by hardship. Oh, but they come alive. It's like, who in the world are you? Because we become who we really are. But during the 7 years of abundance, they devised a strategy to store the excess grain. And this proves to be significant, not just for Egypt, but also for the surrounding nations. Because after the climb, after the click, 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 they experienced a big drop. And this drop is not discriminatory. Everyone felt it for 7 years. Everything dried up for 7 years. They were in a slump. For 7 years, they were in a recession. And the truth is, you can be the best at what you do, and sooner or later, you will experience these seasons in your life. Seasons defined by not having enough of what you need, craving for what you can't get, trying but not succeeding. And Joseph shows us what to do during the times of famine. Joseph shows us to do during the drought, because famine impacted the entire region. But we also learned that through the land of Egypt, there's famine in the land, but there was still bread in Egypt. You almost missed it. There was a famine. Somebody say famine. Famine. There was famine in the land, but there was bread. Somebody say bread. But there was bread in Egypt. I think what they did as an economic strategy has spiritual implications. I feel like shouting just off that. There was famine. So it's a reminder, an invitation to fill our reserves, so that when we go through seasons of famine, we have something that sustains us. So there can be famine in the land, and there can still be bread in your house. Watch it. The practices and spiritual experiences that we have in one season can sustain us in the next. The rituals that you do today, they count for something. The acts of service you do today, they matter. And the experiences that you have with God today are not in vain. How you treat people can make a difference. Why? Because you are simply adding to the reserves. Freedom School, that is the power of Freedom School. Because unfortunately, we live in the world that has not caught up to some of the values and decrees that we put on paper. And sometimes our ignorance comes out in the way that we deal with people. But when they come to a place that reminds them every day that there's something inside of you so strong that you can be whatever you want to be, that when you come across into the world that you've already built up a reserve, when you come across negativity, when you come across ignorance, when you come across low expectations, you don't let that bother you, because you've been building up a reserve right now in your life. So it doesn't matter what the world says, does, or thinks. You already know there's something inside of me so strong
because I built up a reserve.
In fact, my therapist told me one day that many adults unknowingly search for what they should have received as children and adults. For instance, if you were not affirmed and celebrated during a critical part of your upbringing, she suggests that you will unconsciously search for it as an adult. Her claim was that what we desire in one season is what we lacked in another, sometimes in healthy ways and sometimes in unhealthy ways. But if this is true, so was the inverse. Because I don't have to desperately desire something in one season what I have consistently received in another. She doesn't use the language, but we build up a reserve so that even in seasons of lack, we have something to lean on or sustain us. So if I'm affirmed and celebrated as an adult, if I am affirmed, if I am told I'm all that, even if I don't always get it as an adult, I don't fall apart, I don't question my confidence, I don't question my ability, because I have built up a reserve. I don't starve because there's still some bread laying around in the house. There can be a famine out there in the world, but I've got some bread in my faith. I'm not desperate because of what I've stored away. And our faith doesn't fall apart because there is some evidence of God's presence that we have preserved over the years. In fact, there's a book called The Big Picture that highlights. What happened? Come on, stop. Y'all will catch that later on your way home. So yeah. There's a book called The Big Picture that highlights the reality as it looks at Joseph's life. And I know the authors very well. And in one chapter, one of the authors puts the possibilities of the past like this. She says, there are some things that happened in our past that we wish would never see the light of day. There are some hairstyles that we would neither confirm nor deny. There are some clothing trends that we once believed were the height of fashion, but we would not be caught dead in them today. While those examples are on the lighter side, there are others from our past that aren't so easy to revisit. Relationships that failed us, toxic jobs that exhausted us, mistakes that we made, or pain we inflicted on others, and we may even get to a point where we disconnect some of the dots of the past because we believe there's nothing from yesterday that can bless us today. Yet Joseph shows us a different way of looking at the past, or another way of connecting the dots. He reminds us that the past doesn't always have the power to haunt us, but it also has the power to bless us, end quote. I think that's why early in ministry, one of my professors told us to create a feel-good folder. We laughed at him for 3 years, a feel-good folder. Right, he reminded us that there will be a lot of ups and downs in ministry, that it will be natural to focus on the uncomfortable and the difficult moments, but that's why when you get letters and you get the emails and you get cards, you have to make sure that you find a place to put them, because sooner or later you're going to need a word of encouragement or a feel-good moment. There will be times when you will question whether or not you are called. He reminded us that there would be times when we will wonder if we made the right decision. He reminded us that there would be times when we would want to quit and walk away. And there would be moments when we wondered if we heard God's call wrong. And yet he invited us to go back to those folders and read the encouragement of others, because it was like he was inviting us to store the grain, to store up the good stuff, so that we had some bread during the time of famine. It's an important aspect of faith. An important aspect of faith is storing up the good stuff. It's storing the grain. It's not being imprisoned by the current famine that we forget about the previous times that God has operated in our lives. It's because what sustains us during the famine is the faith that we cultivated and curated and developed in prior seasons. Storing up the good stuff helps us to sustain our relationships through rough patches. Storing up the good stuff helps us to hold on to God's will for our lives, even when we want to let go. Storing up the good stuff helps me get a broader perspective when all I can see is a famine. Life is about storing up the grain. So let me leave you with this. Let me leave you with this. Because it raises the question, because there was a famine of the land, and so many of them had not built up reserves, they had to come to Egypt, become the Pharaoh for sustenance, for grain. And they go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, go to Joseph. Man, wouldn't it be a great job? Like, that would be a great job, but that would be like a great, it's like a parent. When like everybody comes to you with problems, everybody come with you with their things that are going on in their lives, and you can just send them to somebody else. That'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be great, right? Because he says, go to Joseph. But remember, Joseph, he's been in prison. Remember, Joseph is a foreigner. Remember, Joseph has been left to dead. Joseph has been placed in a pit and left for dead by his own family. And now he is the one where Pharaoh says, go to him during this time of famine. Go to Joseph. If there's anybody's life that has been a roller coaster, it's been Joseph's. Because now he has carte blanche to do whatever he wants. He is in total control. And the question is, what kind of decisions is he going to make? What kind of guy, what kind of leader, what kind of person is Joseph going to become? You see, the question that we've been asking these last several weeks, it's an incomplete question. And Ben, I'm almost ready. I'm speeding up my clothes for you guys. I'm trying to be kind of some time, y'all. Because he's got to make a decision about what kind of person he wants to become. Because his life has gone like this. And when they are in their famine, when the nation is at their worst, Joseph is at his best. And the reason why he's able to be at his best, why they are at their worst, is because when he was at his worst, he was still able to be at his best. Because when he was in a pit, he was at his best. When they lied on him and they threw him in prison and left him there, he was at his best. So now when they have called him forth with so much authority and responsibilities and titles and promotions, it's not like he's just starting to become a better person. He was becoming a better person long before he was ever called. See, we often asking the question, and wondering, can we trust God during the ups and downs, but can God trust us? We keep wondering, what kind of God do we serve during the ups and downs? But the real question is, who are we? Who are we when life is great? And who are we when we are experiencing the drop? In fact, if Joseph was here, I simply think he would leave you with this. Never let success go to your head. And never let failure get to your heart. Never let success get to your head. But the famines and the drops, don't let them get to your heart. Because truth is, it's all part of the journey. And it's all part of the ride. Let me pray for you. God, we're grateful for the experiences that we have in life. We're grateful for the impact of our Freedom School and the presence of our servant leader interns and scholars to remind us of not only the freedom that we have in you, but in each of us, there's something inside so strong. And we pray that we would be able to display that strength regardless of where we are on the journey. Because you are there with us, that gives us confidence, that gives us assurance. That regardless of we are in 7 years of plenty or 7 years of famine, there's a character, there's a value. There's something so deep inside of us that it doesn't squash what you have placed in us, but it just magnifies and amplifies what you have already placed in us. So we are grateful for the journey, whether we are on the climb or whether we're on the drop. Because we are reminded who you are and whose we are. For this is our hope and prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.